The after party starts
right now. What's up, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of The After Party. My name is Will, and with me, as always, is my good friend Nate from the Gamers Guild. What's up, Nate?
Not much, man. Excited to be back and talking about some of those core set characters, especially since both of these guys are men of metal.
Yes, we are talking about the metal men of the Marvel Crisis Protocol core box, Iron Man and Ultron. And I'm kind of really excited to talk about these two characters because I feel like that each of them has been marginally overlooked lately by some. And then you've got people like Jacob Collins of Xavier Protocols who loves Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to talking about this. But before we go too far into our main topics today, let's talk about a little bit of news that happened. So we had a new character reveal recently from the guys at Time and Mass Games on, I believe, their Twitter page. They revealed the one and only Hawkeye, Clint Barton. What did you think of that?
I, for one, am in love with his character design, his sculpt design. All in all, I'm just super excited to get him onto the table.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a really fun character. If you want to know mine and Nate's thoughts more in depth on Hawkeye as a character, tune in to the next House Party Protocol, which will be coming out a week after this one. We are going to do a deep dive on that character's reveal, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we have his compatriot Black Widow reveal as well before we record that episode. That would be pretty awesome. But yeah, I do love the sculpt. The character looks cool. Looks like he's going to be a fun and interesting character to play. One thing, though, I feel like this was a missed opportunity to go with like the purple and magenta color scheme, like the classic with the hood and everything. I'm going to be honest. I feel like it was a missed opportunity. But
you say missed opportunity. I'm super happy that I don't have to deal with the goofy mask.
Ah, see, goofy mask is where it's at. You're just a hater. You are just a hater, and there's no room for that at the after party.
But you were just hating on the normal head. I don't understand.
No. That's just completely different because I'm running the show, so it's totally different.
Oh, I see. Got it.
What rules apply to me, they don't apply to you, and vice versa. I don't know. Moving on. So, first character we're going to talk about today is our friendly neighborhood Iron Man, Tony Stark. So, Nate, before playing the game of Crisis Protocol, what were your thoughts on Iron Man?
So, before getting a deep dive and understanding, one of the first impressions I got was the demo at Gen Con, and the thing that by far and away stood out to me was the Ricochet Blast and how fun and cinematic that card is for Iron Man, and kind of in tandem for Captain America, but it feels like it's a card much more focused on Iron Man. And I absolutely loved it and could not really get past or get over that card. That was kind of one of the defining features of Iron Man and the Avengers at the outset of the game for me.
Yeah, I think that you can't really talk about Iron Man without talking about Ricochet Blast because, one, his name's on the Ricochet Blast card, and two, I think, right, like the initial impressions of the Iron Man character for me were he's going to be just a damage-dealing turret that's going to sit there, soak up some damage, and dish out damage. And that was before kind of understanding how the game mechanics worked and what a four dice, four strength attack really was in this game. So with what surprised me once I got Iron Man on the table was how relatively weak Repulsor Blast is compared to other attacks in the game, and especially compared to some of the attacks that we've seen brought into the game.
Absolutely, especially when we're now getting to see Star-Lord's strike, Rocket's plasma rifle strike. It does make Repulsor Blast feel a little bit underpowered comparatively.
Right, and I think also it's fair to compare Repulsor Blast to Shuri's Panther Gauntlets. Maybe it's not a 100% fair comparison, but to me, the idea of Repulsor Blast is not so much to do damage, but you want to get the push. You want the wild to push characters off of objectives. That seems like where what you want Iron Man to be doing. And with four dice, you're only going to get the wild, what, 30% of the time?
I think closer to half. My math could be terrible. Who knows?
Look, I don't know math. Jacob Collins can help me out on that. But either way, like, it just doesn't seem very consistent. And then also when you're trying to have a character that needs to build up power because you want to get to that homing rockets, you want to get to Friday AI. Homing rockets is only two, but we'll see about some other stuff here in just a minute. But you want to use Friday AI as much as possible because that adds two dice to his attack rolls. So an attack that only rolls four dice, gaining power equal to the damage dealt, just feels difficult to consistently get that Friday AI. But I will say that I do think Iron Man has his uses. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with that assessment that he does have his uses. I think he would have more uses if he had a little bit better power generation on his character card, whether that could be taking in the form of something along the lines of energy absorption or something like that. Well, you know what? I will let you go because I don't have too many other really thoughts on just kind of with getting more experience. I haven't played him a whole lot, so
really?
I'm interested to see. Yeah, no, despite being a huge Avengers fan, recently more Avengers Asgardian, but Iron Man was not a character that I really enjoyed, and I look forward to going into that a little bit further here in a second.
So it's funny that you say that because like you said, you're an Avengers player primarily, so I would have expected you to be all over Iron Man, especially because he's three threat, and that three threat allows for a lot of flexibility within your list building because of his, it can allow you to get that Avengers affiliation and still have maybe an extra threat or two left over to apply to something else, which I find to be very useful. So I'm surprised in that. Second of all, I think with his, like you were talking about his power generation, I 100% agree with you. I want his power generation to be better because something like energy absorption, like we've seen in the movies at times, he'll get blasted with something and it'll power him up and then he just redirects that power back, right? So something cool like that would have been useful. But I think one of the things that I have undervalued in Iron Man, there's two things. I've undervalued Friday AI plenty, and I've also undervalued his survivability because his superpower, Invincible Iron Man, that he just gets to reduce damage by one to a minimum of one. So not quite as good as Crossbones, but he doesn't have to pay for it. So
it's a similar ability that has just a different version. Neither one of them is necessarily always going to be better than the other.
Right.
Crossbones being able to reduce something down to zero is obviously really nice.
But he has to pay for it.
But Iron Man getting it for free is also really strong for just consistent damage reduction.
There you go. Word jumble solved. Thank you for that. And, you know, it's like a word scramble and you're circling the words. Thank you for finding my words, Nate. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Anyways, so his survivability put him on a point on a secure objective, maybe a little far off to where he can be in that range four or range five and let him shoot is where you want him to be, but he is hardy enough to be up in the fight. And when you do get some damage on him and you can start to stack Friday AIs with his repulsor blast, that's when he unlocks for me, is getting to that point. You have to get him to where the Friday AI is consistent because without him having the Friday AI, repulsor blast is meh. And even homing rockets, while rolling five dice, it's still not great. But you also have to consider the back of his card. So, Nate, why don't you go ahead and tell us what makes the back of his card so special?
There is one thing in particular, and it is a really strong thing. It is a new attack that gets added called Unibeam. It is a range of beam five, has six strength, and power of cost of four, and it has the wonderful line of text that this attack ignores line of sight and the defending character does not benefit from cover.
Yeah, so that ability, again, this, and this probably goes back to talking about what I expected versus what I got. I thought, much like Captain America, you wanted to get him dazed so that you could get access to Unabeam. And I still feel that way. Like, I still feel like you want to get Unabeam, but it's still a double-edged sword. It's like, okay, I want you to get dazed, but unlike Captain America, Iron Man still maintains kind of the same defenses. He still has Invincible Iron Man. He still has 5 stamina, but that's not really as strong as what Captain America does dazed. The benefit of having him dazed is to get to Unabeam. In order to do that, you've got to get him in there and get him in the fight. And that's where I think, like, once he's in there, you have to spend an action to get out to then use Unabeam. So kind of a double-edged sword. And realistically, you're only going to maybe get one Unabeam off in a game, maybe two.
So maybe two if the dice are kind to you and everything lines up well, and especially if he's in the Cabal.
Oh, yeah.
But the trick for Iron Man, for me, in that situation of, yes, you wanted him to get access to Unabeam, but what you really want is to get him access to Unabeam with enough power to also be able to Friday AI.
Exactly. And if he's an Avengers, you get to reduce that. So if just not counting affiliations or anything, that costs 7 power, and you start counting like a Cabal affiliation, you can make that happen. But 7 power is a lot. And then Avengers, that goes down to 6 power. Again, still not an insignificant amount. And when you're talking about having a repulsor blast that only rolls 4 dice, okay, let's say you bump his repulsor blast with a Friday AI, well, then you're reducing your power pool, let's assume Avengers affiliation, by 2 to hopefully get 2 back plus an additional.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I just feel like getting him there is difficult unless you get him there through the damage route, and that is always, you know, the dice could spike or you could roll well on defense when you really didn't want to.
Yep. So for him to get dazed, by the time he is dazed, he gets to stand back up, flip over. He has enough power for the Friday AI Unabeam combo, but that means on the other side, he's not doing very much. It means maybe he got to interact with an objective, but probably not. Maybe he used some homing rockets to deal with an annoying raccoon. But everything he does on his healthy side is really just taking away from what he can do on his injured side, which is the a little bit more aggressive side.
Yeah, and it's just what it does for me is when you take the whole character, you look at him as a whole, what is this character supposed to do in the game? And not every character has a defined role and everything, like I get that, but it creates a character that doesn't have a defined role and also is hard to use as a flex piece. You know what I mean? Like, when you look at what his damage potential is with Friday AI, and then once he gets flipped with a Unabeam, it's pretty decent. It's rivaling some of the other ones. But then you look at what he has to do to achieve that, and it just makes him difficult to use for me. It makes him hard to pin down where he fits in my roster because he's not an objective runner. He's not a big-time damage dealer. He can do it. He can fit the role of a decent damage dealer. But in my playstyle personally, I like other characters for that role better, and especially with the new toys like Thor, and let's look at Valkyrie. Same character cost, but damage potential wise, significantly more. And she has a throw.
Yep. I think the thing with Iron Man is he does not have that designated spot, as you mentioned. And one of the things that even confuses me further is the Invincible Iron Man ability that then gets tagged onto that, because not only does he have this kind of weird strike that has a push attached to it, and it's a push of any size character, which is really nice on a character like MODOK.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it doesn't work on MODOK because the Wild, but being able to do that on the bigger characters is a really big deal. And then having this invincible Iron Man that almost stifles his power generation. Yes, it's keeping him healthy, which is good while he's holding an objective. But of the secure objectives that we have right now, the only one he really does well on is Gamma Shelters.
Right, because he's
not able
get
to
damage.
Hold these back objectives and really contribute to the fight unless he's spending power for homing rockets.
No, you nailed it. And that's the thing. That I think is the thing. If Repulsor Blast was range 5, it would be a completely different conversation, I think. Because range 4 does not allow him to just sit on a back objective. He has to move to shoot, being at range 4 in most circumstances. Obviously not all, but like Infinity Formula, Extremis consoles, they're just spread out enough to where it makes it difficult to leave him on one, especially as I know in your experience, in my experience, I can't speak for the whole game, but in my experience, the skirmish moves in those fights. So for Infinity Formula and Extremis, the skirmish will generally start around one on one side of the board or around one console and then kind of move. And if you choose to leave an Iron Man or Captain Marvel or somebody with a ranged attack that can't quite get there, if you choose to leave them on one that's out of the fight, well, then they have to move, shoot, and then you're not scoring. Or shoot and then move if they were lucky enough to be in a good position, but it's still, at some point, you're sacrificing points for minimum return. So
yep,
that's just kind of like, that's why Iron Man just doesn't fit in my rosters in general. So with that said, like, does he do anything well? Does Iron Man as a character do anything well in this game?
He is a very good, durable back objective holder. As far as that goes, maybe you also can throw Captain Marvel up there as being a really one that's really good at that, but you'd rather have her pushing your opponent's objective and then let her sit on that and kind of act as that turret or deterrent. But Iron Man does a really good job at holding on to an objective on his own. If you're getting two repulsor blasts off, there's a good chance that he's pushing them off of the objective if they're trying to get on there and steal it. And because of the Invincible Iron Man, he does have this annoying bit of extra durability built in.
He does. He can't do much with it this is just in my experience. And from a versatility perspective, I like Shuri better as a 3-point character.
Mm-hmm.
I like the upcoming Hawkeye better as a 3-point character. I like Valkyrie better as a 3-point character, 100%.
I think when it comes down to the role that I had envisioned for him was back objective holder while still being able to get some damage done elsewhere on the board. And the lack of easy access to a range 5 attack kind of negates that. That's why we look at Shuri and Hawkeye and are like, this character is better suited to this task as a whole.
Yeah, and I want to say what he does well is he survives. I will say that his survivability should not be underrated because it is hard to remove him. You start putting throws on him and stuff, it's not as strong, but it's still pretty good. So anyways, like, that's what he does well. And I think we've talked about enough of his flaws, but let's talk now about his affiliations and what affiliations does he fit well into?
Honestly, the first one that comes to mind is Cabal.
Really?
Yep. I think getting the extra power, he only has the one superpower for Cap's reduction on, and I think the Cabal being a little bit more aggressive are going to want him a little bit more up there in the fight, and him getting, even if it's just that little bit of chip damage, getting more power so that he's able to more frequently Unibeam or Friday AI is going to be important.
So I find it interesting that you say Cabal, because the Cabal affiliation, isn't it if you do damage? It's not just for attacking. It's if you do damage on an attack, correct?
It is. You do need to get that damage in.
See, I would rather have the 100% guaranteed reduction in Avengers than the well, hopefully my repulsor blast will do some damage thing that comes with.
So, statistically, and we all know that dice are dice, but energy is still frequently the lowest defense type in the game.
Oh, it definitely is.
And statistically, again, you have better odds of hitting on attacks than you do defending with defense dice.
Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely, I get that.
So the odds are he will be at least getting in 1 point of damage on an average attack.
Right, but you know what also the odds are is that when he's an Avenger, he is 100% getting a reduction on his Friday AI. Guaranteed.
But you're only getting that once.
Once
because
per turn.
The first turn of the game, you're not going to Friday AI. The second round of the game, unless you got attacked, you're still not going to be able to Friday AI. You could, but at that point, I don't see it being worth it.
Well, if you're getting the reduction to two, I mean, I would probably rather, like, again, this is all theory, but
yeah.
If I'm in round two of the game, turn two of the game, whatever you want to call it, and hopefully by turn two, my Iron Man's in a position to where he can at least do something on that in that turn, in turn two. And if that is a move and attack, so be it. But I would definitely, if I'm playing him in Avengers, be using Friday AI, like I said earlier, as often as I could to add those two dice, because then Repulsor Blast becomes way more of a consistent possibility for doing damage and gaining power.
Interesting. For me, it's not the reduction of the power for the sake of the boost. For me, I like him in Cabal because it is storing power so that once he's flipped, he's able to go off.
Yeah, see, and I think that's just a philosophical difference between you and I, and I think it's interesting is that I don't play Iron Man. When I put Iron Man on the table, I don't think I want to get him flipped. Like, I think that that's a way to play him. It's like, all right, we want to get him flipped to get to Unibeam, but we want to do it at the right time where we can do it. But like we talked about earlier, you're only going to get one Unibeam, maybe two if you're super lucky, I think. And it's like, I would rather Repulsor Blast with six dice for the duration of the game, and that obviously the six dice is Friday AI'd, and not ever have him flip, than to try to set up a Unibeam that may or may not come.
That's fair.
So, just philosophical differences between the two of us. I like it. And, yeah, I don't think the other affiliations, I don't think really matter too much for him, honestly.
Nope, I don't think the rerolls that the Guardian, I guess the Guardians could provide some good rerolls on a Unibeam turn.
Yeah, I mean.
But he's not going to be one that is super thankful for the Asgardians affiliation ability. It does make him a little bit more durable since he's already getting the reduction. Getting to heal one is nice. The one I think he just does absolutely not want to be in, though, is the Wakandans.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me in general. And Asgard is good because if you get a stun on Iron Man, as we've talked about before, he's already power poor. Whew, that really hurts. So last thing on Iron Man is we got a question from Tim Simpson. Thank you, Tim. It says, does Iron Man keep up in the roster with more three-point characters being introduced? Who does he compete against? So I'm going to tackle the question first, and let's start with who does he compete against? Well, he competes against Zemo. Even though Zemo's out of affiliation, he competes against Zemo. He competes against Dr. Octopus, honestly. If you want to talk about a three-cost character that is underrated, I think Doc Ock is underrated. I think him and Groot fill different roles, so I don't really think that Groot would really impact him too much. I think that Shuri really competes with him, and I think Star-Lord and Avengers is an option, and they fill similar roles. Star-Lord puts out those conditions, which is very useful, but really I think the two biggest characters that he competes against are Winter Soldier and Valkyrie. Valkyrie for the damage potential, Winter Soldier for the flexibility of list building. in terms of roster construction. Now, if I'm going out and playing casually and I just want to play Avengers, well, sure, I'll put Iron Man in there. But in terms of if I'm going to an event, then I could see dropping Iron Man for a Valkyrie or a Winter Soldier, again, to help with some list flexibility. How do you feel about that?
I don't know if I would necessarily put Iron Man in the same camp as Valkyrie, but I love the lines you drew between Winter Soldier and Iron Man, because the main reason Iron Man would be in my roster for a while is because he's the only three-point Avenger, and there's a lot of weird hurdles to come overcome when you're trying to play Avengers and you don't have a three-point model. So Winter Soldier was a very much so a replacement for me on there. And I also like that you mentioned Doc Ock. Both of these guys have the same stat lines up at the top. Doc is actually a little bit more mobile and then has more health on the other side. He has a range 4 and range 3 attack. I think they both feel, as far as the role that Iron Man fills, I think the best comparison would be Doc Ock.
Yeah, I think so too. And if Doc Ock had an affiliation, it'd be way better. But I'm probably still not putting Doc Ock in my roster right now, but that is a conversation for another time. So we had another question from Carl Walker, and he basically said, I'm paraphrasing here, it says, would we want to see additional suits for Iron Man? So this would be just a fun one here. Hell yes, I want more Iron Man suits. So he brought up the question about how we're getting an additional Black Widow, and with a character like Iron Man, who throughout his time in the comics and the movies has made numerous suits of armor, I very much want to see more Iron Man suits. And what about you? Do you have any specific ones you want to see, or with any specific powers?
So I do not have any particular mark suit or anything like that that I want to see in the game. I do definitely want to see more Iron Man suits. Sure, Hulkbuster would be fun. Before we even see Hulkbuster, I would love to see a four-threat leader of the Avengers Iron Man.
Yeah, I think something like that could be really cool. My number one would be Hulkbuster. I just think that'd be super fun in-game. And I just think that could be just utterly bonkers. But I think it's interesting with Iron Man is because while all the suits have different things they do and do well and flaws or benefits or whatever, they're also essentially the same thing. Like, they just behave a little differently. Like, so for instance, his Model 50, the Superior Iron Man, mm-hmm. like, that one's really cool, but it doesn't really change how Iron Man works as a character. So I agree with you. I'd want to see something where he's either a leader or something that where it gets to show off his intellect, it gets to show off Tony Stark's intellect in some way or another. I think that could be a fun way, and you could use that to have a different suit.
Yeah, I think seeing with what they've done with some of the other characters in the game, I would love to see a Tony Stark that has some sort of the scientific hubris or head of R&D ability on him, where it kind of shows that scientific mindset. It would get him that little bit of extra power generation, not to mention, again, something like the energy absorption, as we have seen even in the first Avengers movie, where Thor shoots some lightning bolts into him, gets him charged up for a ridiculously powered unibeam.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of cool things that they could do. And again, I think I agree with you. I don't think that particular suits are going to necessarily have extremely distinct play styles at the end of the day. I think a lot of them are going to be very similar. But I think as we get an upgraded suit, maybe we see a better repulsor blast that has maybe range 5 or strength 5, things like that to help him out.
Yep, exactly. So final thoughts on Iron Man? Any other retrospective perspective look at Iron Man? Anything else you want to say?
No, man, I think we hit all the nails on the head. We kind of talked about how he as a character is a little bit confused in what he wants to do and what he wants to do from game to game.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think he's a fun character in some ways, and he's, you know, disappointing in others. But let us know what you guys think, because we will be doing the after party again in a couple of weeks. And we love getting messages and emails and comments from you guys. You can email us at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com, or you can interact with us on Facebook at House Party Protocol Podcast. And then also you can message Nate at the Gamers Guild on Facebook, or all of those different ways. On Discord, I'm at @HPP_Will. Nate?
I am on Discord, I think. I have no idea what my tag is, though, so
lame.
Probably don't try to message me there. Yep, but you can contact me through the YouTube page. You can contact me through Facebook either. Just my user, pretty easy to find, or through the Gamers Guild. I'm happy to respond either way.
Yeah, so yeah, let us know what you guys think. If we left anything out on Iron Man, we want to know that as well. So yeah, but before we move on, for our very next after party, what we're going to do is we're going to do Zemo and Black Widow, Baron Zemo and Black Widow from the core set. And like we got some questions here from Tim and Carl, we would love to get some more questions and comments for from you guys about those characters, or just generally about what you guys want to talk about. So yeah, send those in to the previously mentioned addresses. That's housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com, or on Facebook, House Party Protocol Podcast. And yeah, so we'd love to talk with you guys about those guys and know what y'all want to talk about with those characters. So now, moving on to our next man made of metal, and if you follow the movies, vibranium metal at one point, but realistically, I think in most instances, it's just been normal ass metal, and that would be Ultron. So Nate, before playing this game, any game at all, what were your thoughts on Ultron?
I thought he was the evil version of Captain Marvel.
Really?
Plain and simple. I looked at comparing the good side and bad side of the core box. They were both threat four. They both had multiple damage types. Both of them kind of had some range to them, a little bit of extra health tacked on in different ways, and defenses tacked on in different ways. So I thought he was basically going to be the evil equivalent of Captain Marvel.
Interesting. For me, I thought I would hardly play a game without Ultron.
But interesting.
Yeah, I loved him. I thought he was going to be awesome. I thought that Analyze and Annihilate would be super useful. I thought that the Age of Ultron tactic card that we're going to talk about in a minute was going to see so much use and make him nigh invincible. I was like, how do you not play Ultron? And what surprised me when I finally got games on the table was just how decent he is, but how none of it panned out the way I expected, in terms of I expected him to be way stronger than he is. I expected him to, again, like specifically Analyze and Annihilate superpower. I thought that that was going to be something really cool. And it's one of those things that I would rather pay for Metallic Fury than for Analyze and Annihilate more often than not. So, yeah.
That's fair.
It's just like he ended up being the character that I'm kind of like, well, when I'm building a Cabal list, do I take Ultron? I don't think so. You know what I mean?
Ooh, okay. So yeah, I do agree that I don't think that he's going to be one of the characters that benefits from the Cabal the most. I think pretty much every single character in the game that wants to attack is going to benefit from being at the Cabal.
Sure.
But he's not one of these characters that is getting off multiple attacks. He doesn't have a beam attack. He doesn't have any of like the whirling blades ability or anything like that to get multiple attacks off. So he's not going to benefit the most, but he adds some good things that the Cabal don't have within their own ranks. The ability to throw, even though it's not other characters, he does have a really nice throw tacked on. And what's different than most other throws in the game is his is a range 3.
Right.
Which I really like, being able to pull from something that was maybe in a starting deployment zone that you weren't going to see for the rest of the game anyway, and then suddenly Ultron is able to whip that with his weird metallic grabby powers or whatever
kinetic
it may
field
be.
Field generator, get it right, gosh.
Yes, that.
He creates a kinetic energy field and moves things with his metal mind.
Yep. the one thing that I thought was a little bit odd, first impression, was his strike is only four dice.
Yes, I know. That is super weird.
I there's going to be so very, very, very few times that I just don't use Energy Blast, because at least you're getting the you're getting the full power from damage dealt. Where strike, yes, I guess if you just need that one power to get the Metallic Fury, it's a guaranteed way to get there. But speaking of Metallic Fury, other than the tactic card that we'll talk about here in a bit, I think that is his defining attribute.
Oh, Metallic Fury is 100% the attack. It is the thing that he does. And I agree with you. When I first read his card, I was thinking, oh man, he's got this great throw. He throws things that are within range three, which is good, and then throws it medium. But I also didn't, at the time, understand how powerful throwing another character is. So yes, being able to throw a piece of terrain is great, and the fact that it's range three is even better, but I wish he could throw characters. But Metallic Fury only costing three power, and especially if you put him in Cabal and you run that energy blast, there's a very real chance he's going to be able to Metallic Fury for a follow-up attack if he's attacking twice. And then you get to choose whether or not it's energy or physical. And as we discussed with Iron Man, energy being the lowest overall defense in the game, it means that I'm more than likely going to be choosing that every time. Or if nothing else, targeting a character that, or, you know, choosing which one based on the target character.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it. And bleed is bleed, so that's all well and good. But I think it's the fact that he can choose the type of attack it is to target a special kind of defense. And then I think it plays well with characters that have been released in recent times, like Vision, who has a defensive ability that allows him to choose whether or not he gets extra physical or extra energy defense. Well, Metallic Fury, before you choose a target, you have to choose whether it's physical or energy. However, in your mind, you can choose that you're going to target Vision and force the Vision player to have to rapid phase, maybe. Like, so let's say Vision is in his enhanced density state, so he's more hardy against physical attacks. Well, I can choose that I'm going to do an energy attack, and then I can say I'm going to attack Vision. And then he changes, and that's two power off of Vision. You know what I mean? Like, I think that it's an interesting way to do that. Or, for instance, if I'm attacking Captain Marvel, I can choose to use Metallic Fury as a physical attack against Captain Marvel to not trigger her energy absorption ability, which I think
is really good. Not to mention, she just has lower physical defense.
Well, and that. And then let's talk about some of the new characters that we've seen out there, like Groot, who has a 2 energy defense, but I think a 4 physical defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shoot, Ultron plays well into that. So, yeah, I don't know. I think you're right. I think Metallic Fury is what you want, and getting him to 3 power so he can do it is not too difficult, I think.
Nope, I don't think it's too difficult at all, especially with Energy Blast.
Right, and Cabal affiliation, I mean, you know. So let's talk about some more stuff here. So, we've mentioned a couple of times about his card. His card is very specifically Ultron's card, called The Age of Ultron. And I'm sure most of you listening to this know by now, but in case you don't, basically, if you have 8 power sitting on Ultron when he is KO'd, he just comes back on his healthy side. Really strong in theory.
Mm-hmm.
In practice, however, I have never seen it work.
Really?
Yes, because the Ultron player generally gets overzealous and thinks, oh, well, if I take a damage here, or, you know, I'll be able to get it back, is kind of like, so if they metallic, so the Ultron player, it's like, well, shit, I need to do some damage to this character or else they're going to score, or I could daze this character or KO character Y, and so therefore I'm going to Metallic Fury to try to ensure my KO, and not thinking about the fact that Age of Ultron is sitting there. You know what I mean? So they KO the character, sure, and then they in turn get KO'd and Age of Ultron doesn't pop because they didn't have the power for it. So it's just, it's one of those cards where when it hits like a truck in a lot of ways, because holy crap, now there's a brand new Ultron with 11 health just hanging out. But if it does hit, it's going to hit late in the game where at that point, useful but not as useful. I think more than anything, it's a deterrent.
I'm gonna disagree with you because of my experiences playing into Ultron.
Oh, interesting.
I myself have never played Ultron with the Age of Ultron card because to me it is very much a deterrent to, like, hey, just kind of don't worry about Ultron. But playing into Ultron, even if I see that they have the Age of Ultron card, I typically have not played differently into him. And so far, two out of the three times that I've played into him like that, I did not end up punished. Because by the time he does get to come back, he's only left at two power. So even if he hasn't already previously activated in that round, he's only coming back with two power. He'll have dropped all of his objectives, and at two power, Ultron on his own is not super threatening.
He's not, but I mean, that still gives him the opportunity to, depending on his placement, strike to get that extra power to then follow up with a Metallic Fury or Energy Blast to gain some more power to, again, do more shit.
Yep, so he does have the potential to basically just have a normal activation at that point.
Right, and that's what I think I'm more getting at than anything, so I don't think we're really disagreeing per se, but what I'm more getting at is that the Age of Ultron card, as cool as it sounds to bring him back full health, the reality is that by the time it pops, by the time you get to a point where he could come back at full health, you're probably pretty late in the game as it is.
Mm-hmm.
To where is that power better spent on other things? So would I rather be spending that 8 power or 10 power that I've banked up on his kinetic field generator, on Analyze and Annihilate, on Metallic Fury? You know what I mean? Like, I would probably rather be using those powers and attacks more than just banking it with the hope that I get to that I'm timing it right. Because if you try to just sit on that power, like, let's say you get him to 10 power and you're trying to just sit on that to where you're not going below 8. That's you're not playing efficiently at that point, and you're still losing something.
Yeah, I think the turn that Ultron gets to play Age of Ultron is usually about the time that the game is being decided.
Exactly, and I don't want to discount the fact that it's a very cool card, very thematic card, and it makes the character feel so much like the character. It's just the practice of it and the reality of it, I think, are just it's just two different things. Like, the theory is awesome, but the reality is way different.
Yeah, I think it is a card that if you bring it, you've mentioned this before, it is a question kind of a card. It is not a card that answers anything, but it is a question of, hey, if I play Ultron in this way and I bring Age of Ultron, can you answer it?
Exactly.
And it's easier to answer than I think we initially thought it would be.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. It is a lot easier to answer than we thought it would be. And it can be played in such a way, it's just, it's not as big of a threat as what we thought. And with all of that, I think one of the things that I would like to talk about, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, is his Analyze and Annihilate ability. Because speaking of things that are maybe not as big of a threat as I initially thought they would be, this superpower, it only costs you two powers. It's reactive, and it says During the next attack that this character makes this turn, when resolving critical results, you roll an additional attack die for each crit in the opposing defense roll. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. You have to spend two power for something that's not even guaranteed.
Cool. So I'm going to hold you up right there, because that is actually one of the few things that Atomic Mass Games has already FAQ'd.
Oh.
And there is updated text there.
Oh, there's updated text. What is that?
So the errata that can be found on Atomic Mass Games' website is: replace the text of Analyze and Annihilate Superpower with the following text. During an attack made by this character, before resolving critical results, it may use this superpower. Add an additional die to the attack roll for each critical in the opposing defense roll.
That's way better.
Yeah.
That's way better. And makes it to where, okay, maybe I do want to start running some Ultron some more, because being able to see what the defender did before you choose to use this power is way better. Because then you know, oh yeah, there is a crit in that result right there. There you go.
Yep.
So yeah, okay. That's better. And I actually like this better than Loki's I Am a God with that text.
Because there's something for sure.
Exactly.
That you know you're going to get that extra dice.
Right. You know immediately whether or not you're going to spend it. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm going to spend my two power after I've seen what the dice have done. So, yes, okay, I'm going to get to add an extra die. Awesome. Or two extra dice or however many. But, boom, I'm going to get to add an extra die. So I love that versus I Am a God of, well, hopefully it works out to your benefit.
Yep, pretty much.
So, yeah, and what's funny is I'm glad they errated that, because I've been playing Ultron. When I played Ultron, I haven't played him in a while, but I wasn't playing with that errata, obviously. I was playing with what came in the box, and I was just like, man, this is just not seem worth it. So,
ta-da!
Ta-da, it's worth it again. So, yeah, I think Ultron's good, not great. As a character, I think his defensive ability is pretty good, where whenever he's defending against mystic attacks, he gets to count wilds as two successes, but that's only against mystic attacks.
Not very many of those in the game.
Not too many right now. And again, when you look at roster construction and everything, I don't see a lot of Ultron in rosters. And
I've been seeing a lot of Ultron and Guardians rosters, interestingly.
I was going to bring up affiliations in just a second, because I think Ultron and Guardians would be amazing.
Okay, well, do you want to just skip ahead to that real quick then?
Sure, why not? So I was going to say, what are Ultron's biggest faults before we skipped ahead, but why not talk about affiliations first? So, Nate, what affiliations do you think Ultron fits best in?
Personally, I still think that Cabal fits him quite nicely. I think the Asgardians fits him as nicely as it does any other four-threat character, which is to say it does help them, because the four-threat and up are where you really want to be able to make sure you have your full attack dice or your full amount of actions. But it also, he's immune to two of the status conditions that are already out there in the game, so he's not seeing the biggest bump.
Right.
And that, right. And then I have not thought about him in the Guardians. I've seen it a few times. What makes you think that the Guardians fits him so well?
So what helps him with the Guardians, I think, is one, I know Jacob and I talked about this on an episode of House Party Protocol a while back. With winging it, you want to use the three tokens you get on attacks. Using them for defense is not as efficient. You want to be able to use them for attacks. So Ultron doesn't really fit the mold there, but if you take Ultron with Guardians, you can take Age of Ultron to, one, either use for Age of Ultron or just to be a burn card. Like, you know going in, this is a card I know I'm going to burn for winging it, and then you don't have to make the tough choice of, ah, crap, do I burn Crew of the Milano right now? Do I burn Deadly Duo to get these winging its? The answer to those questions are 100% no. But I'm just saying, like, you know you're going to take Crew of the Milano. You know you're going to take Deadly Duo. You're probably going to take I Am Groot. So it's three cards that you probably don't want to burn for winging it tokens. Or I said I Am Groot. It's We Are Groot, I believe. Either way, you're probably not going to want to burn those for winging it tokens. But when you take Ultron, it gives you a decent damage output character he's pretty decent at that, I would say. With Energy Blast being 5 dice and Metallic Fury being 7 for only 3 power, it's one of the cheapest 7 dice attacks in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So Metallic Fury, again, and you want to be able to reroll some dice on that if you have a bad roll. So I think that I just think he fits really well because you can take Age of Ultron to be a winging it character card or whatever you want to call it. It can be a card that you burn just going into it. And then you just have to worry about what your other card's going to be.
Yeah, that's not something I thought of. That's actually a really good use of the Guardian's leadership ability to be able to have that flexibility with the Age of Ultron card, because at that point, by the time you know if you get an opportunity to play Age of Ultron, okay, yes, I need to either save it for that because Ultron only has a couple health left on his injured side, or you can be like, yep, now's when I'm going to get those rerolls.
Exactly, and that's the thing. It's risk-reward, obviously, but like we talked about earlier, when you would get to Age of Ultron is generally later in the game, and while he's a pretty big threat character, I don't see people targeting him over targeting a Star-Lord. Like, I would 100% target a leader before, like, trying to take out a leader before I try to take out any other character, because I want to get rid of that affiliation bonus as fast as possible if I have an opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at what Ultron does, he can sit on a spot pretty good and do some good damage from range and whatnot, but he can also get up in there and take it a little bit. He's got 6 on his healthy side and 5 on his injured side. And then, yeah, so...
decent defenses across the board as well.
Right, so I think I kind of poo-pooed him, I think, at the beginning of all of this, but I actually think he fits well in Guardians, and he brings another thing to the Guardians that they are severely lacking, and that is a throw. Yes, it's not characters, but they need characters that can throw, and Ultron's throw is decent, and it doesn't cost you too much. I mean, it's right in line with other throws.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like I said, Metallic Fury being one of the cheapest 7 dice attacks in the game. Man, I think I just, after all of this, re-talked myself into Ultron.
Within a certain affiliation?
Yes, yes. I mean, he's always a character that I've liked, but I expected him to be way more ubiquitous in lists than he has been.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't think he really benefits too much from Wakanda.
No, I guess... Not too much. He has the extra power to spend most of the time for a single reroll, and that doesn't really jeopardize him not being able to play the Age of Ultron card. So I think that that actually ends up working out pretty well.
Yeah. So yeah. So to bring it back then, what do you think are his biggest faults?
I think the biggest faults is kind of the fact that he is a puppet with strings, and the puppet master is his tactic card, Age of Ultron. Once he gets injured, you have to kind of play around with that card in mind if you have brought it, and so you're kind of hampering yourself in what he is able to do if you're wanting to try to make sure to be able to play Age of Ultron.
And that's another question. Do you take Ultron in a squad... let's just assume competitive. In a competitive squad, do you take Ultron without the Age of Ultron card?
Ooh. I think if you were trying to be competitive, and because it brings some mind games to the table, I think you'd need to bring Age of Ultron with Ultron.
I agree. I think that in a competitive mindset, to try to, again, bring that question, you take him. And if you take him with Guardians, it doesn't hurt you. But if you take him in Cabal or Avengers, I think he'd be decent. He's decent in Avengers. But mm-hmm. There are better options that are Avengers affiliated that are 4 threat. But I think if you take him outside of Guardians and you take the Age of Ultron card, you are hurting yourself from having something like a patch-up or like a med pack when we get it, or field dressing, or Brace for Impact. Like, there's some really good card that affects the team that you're going to have to leave on the sideline to take the Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
but I do think that he is playable and could be competitive without that card. I haven't tested this theory yet, but I think he could be. Because he's still a pretty strong character.
He is still a good character all in all.
Yeah.
And to loop it back just a little bit, there are other characters that have a power 3 for 7 dice attack, and most of those attacks are even range 3 or further. However, in a lot of ways, Ultron's is the most versatile because it's able to swap back and forth between those attack types.
Right, and I know Star-Lord has his full auto, I believe, is 7 dice, 3 power, right?
Yep, Venom's, we are Venom,
right?
Which healing is really nice. Killmonger's Black Ops Strike, which has that extra bit of mobility added to it. And then, of course, his core set counterpart, Captain Marvel, has the Rocket Punch that has that stagger possibility.
That's right. I don't know why I forgot about all of that in the moment. I just got so excited, I think.
You were so hyped up. You're back on the Ultron train.
I was, and now I'm kind of like, meh, again. Look at this. Just the turns, man. It's crazy. Here at the after party, you know, the ebbs and flows.
Yeah, you're crashing from the party high.
That's it. That's it. Well, speaking of the party high, I think it's time to bring this after party to a screeching halt with all of this. Any further thoughts on the old Ultron man? Metal man?
Not on Ultron specifically. I do have one more question for you, though.
Ooh, I love questions.
Looking back at Ultron and Iron Man real quick, do you think that they have gotten worse, better, or stayed the same with the recent releases?
I think Ultron's gotten better because I do think that he fits well in Guardians. I think Iron Man, this again goes to the question of energy defense being lower in general. So there's, you know, there's less energy defense out there. So has he gotten better in that context? Yes. But in the context of, are there more models that I would rather play than him? He's gotten worse.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ultron has definitely gotten better. If nothing else, the additional ability he has working with the Guardians and the flexibility that the Age of Ultron card has there is huge. I can completely understand why people think, hey, Guardians Ultron, yes.
Yeah.
I think, for me at least, Tony has stayed the same. There's not been a character that has come out that does exactly what he does better or even differently, but just in a slightly better way. He's just, again, to me, he's still this just kind of confused, not really sure what he is supposed to be doing on the battlefield most of the time.
Yeah.
So I don't really, he definitely hasn't gotten better to me. I think as we see other 3-point options, he's less likely to make my rosters. I will say that much.
Yeah. Cool. I agree. And we'd love to know, again, what you guys think. Let us know if you completely disagree. We will be okay with that. Or if you completely agree, we love our egos being stroked over here. So there you go. And with that, this is where we're going to put this after party to bed.
Thanks for listening, Suits. And look forward to you guys listening to us next week.
Peace out, Nate.